Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Well, good morning, everyone. What a beautiful day. Who loves seeing the sun? Yeah. We can almost put up with a bit of frost, fog, if there's a sunny day, right? So good. Hey, let me pray before I just bring the Word of God to you this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you for sun. I thank you for the brightness of the morning. I thank you for your favor and your blessing in our lives. And I thank you for the Word of God, that today as we open your word, that you would speak to us. And I'm praying, and I'm believing that each person here would receive from this word, the word of God. Lord, it would penetrate, it would cut, it would divide, it would speak, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning. Amen. Hey, well, come with me to Matthew 19, one of our verses of the week. We're in August, wow. We're getting through the Gospels and through the week. So stay with the reading. It's been so fun. I like to get to the readings on Monday and I zoom ahead and I work out, you know, Lord, what are you saying? What have you got for church this week? And this verse was what he was showing me, Matthew 19. And I'm going to center around one verse and just make that verse. There's some incredible things in just one verse of the Bible. Just one chunk, one phrase, one segment of the Bible. And if we could get that inside of us, it'd be such life. Now, in this passage, we find a man who's stuck in life. Now, Jesus meets all kinds of people who are stuck in life. And you know, you see people like lepers. In that day, they were outcasts. They had to live in a certain colony. We see people who are blind and had to beg because they were stuck. They couldn't get healing, and they couldn't have Social Security or benefits or anything like that we have today. And so they were stuck begging. You see people with demons, demonic influence, and they were stuck. You see, Jesus comes across all these people who are stuck in life. And you know what? As I'm praying into this, I feel like today, it's like we live in this era where we're stuck. So many people in life are stuck. They've reached a point and it's like, I can't move. I can't breathe. I can't, literally, you know, there's a COVID stuckness right now across most of our country, let alone the world. People feel limited. They feel oppressed. They feel like I can't, you know, walk around with masks on, for goodness sake. It's just normal now, but we feel like there's this stuckness in life, let alone whatever health issues we've got or whatever job or employment or the things that we're trying to deal with. It's a really difficult environment to move forward in. You know, found that? It's like, I don't know if it's just a spiritual oppression for our age or it's just life, but there's way more than COVID going on in our world right now. I see this kind of sense of heaviness and people just are stuck in life. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the one who helps us to come unstuck, right? I see this passage. He speaks to this man and he brings the potential for him to become unstuck and to move forward in life because that's what we all long for. But curiously, this is not a man who's got leprosy or blindness or some other condition. He's actually a really wealthy man. And it's his wealth that brings him to a place of being stuck. Now let's have a look at this passage in Matthew 19, verse 16. Behold, a man came up and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. Fair enough. He said, which ones? And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." Quotes, you know, most of the Ten Commandments back to him. This is what life is like following me. This is what you do. But the young man said, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? What a question. Can you see how he's stuck? I mean, if he wasn't stuck, he wouldn't be coming to ask Jesus in the first place anyway. He'd be quite content with life. But there's something gnawing away on the inside of him. I'm missing something. I've got everything, but I'm missing something. And even when he says, I'm a good person. I follow these things. I do my best. You know, I bet he was a very upright man. But then why did he come back and said, all these I've kept, what do I still lack? I'm still missing something. I know in my heart that I'm missing something. I know I'm stuck in life. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect. Now that word perfect means complete. So it's not morally perfect. Okay, it's teleos. The word means complete. If you would be perfect or complete, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. This is the verse that just gave me so much life this week. God is a God of action. God isn't a God just to leave people where they are. God unsticks people. God is a God who rolls up his sleeves. God is a God of action. There's five verbs there, action words, doing words. And we're looking all month just at just Jesus, the God of action. He comes and he does and he delivers and he sets free. He's incredible what he does. So we're going to explore these five things. But if I'm honest, and maybe if you're honest, who's skipped over this verse in the past? Go, I'm not wealthy. Yeah. It's not for me. Because it's a scary verse, isn't it? So we just kind of, that's for the ultra rich. It's not for me. What do you mean go sell it? So let's look at what this verse actually means. It's a liberating, unsticking kind of passage. It'll set us free. So I'm going to explore these five verbs. Let's start with go. Go. Go means to withdraw oneself, to go, to depart, literally go. And Jesus, I think it's 161 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this word go, go, go. Jesus is always telling people to go, go. He says, go, show yourself to the priest. Go, rise up, pick up your bed and go home. Go to the other side. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. You know, he's a God of going. Go, go, go. And you see that in his just dealings with people. Whenever someone goes to get healed, he says, go, go, go and wash somewhere. Go and present yourself to the priest. Go stand up. Go jump. Go do something, but make an action, you see? God is a God of action. Go. So he's talking to the rich young man, and he says, go, do something. Like, it's wonderful that you've got all this wealth, but you got to go, take action. And I love it how Jesus, he hasn't asked us to do something that he's unwilling to do. Think about this. He's Jesus. He is God in heaven. What does he do? He goes. He's not content to leave the world as it is. He goes. Jesus departs from heaven and comes and takes on humanity. But us, what does that mean for us? What does it mean to go? Do you remember the thrill of going? Do you remember the whisper, the thought, the hint of Jesus? Maybe it's go and speak to that neighbor. Maybe it's go and ring up that person. Maybe it's go and forgive that someone. Maybe it's to move country or town. Maybe it's to take up another job, or maybe it's to marry someone. Or maybe it's to, ever had that sense on the inside to go? What does it feel like? It's like a rush of blood. It's like that girl jumping, you know, on the Olympics. It's like, go. And you feel the adrenaline kick in, right? Who's with me? You felt that? It's the best place to live, I'm telling you. to live in a state of going and risk. What if that person just turns around and walks away? What if that person doesn't accept my forgiveness? What if that person won't talk to me or pick up the phone? What if that job doesn't work out? What if this girl is not the one I should marry? What if? Go. Go. This will unstick you. Go. Just get a sense of what God is telling you and go. Go generates all kinds of things. God is in the going. God will find you in the going. Listen for his urge to go. And then go. Don't think too hard about it. Don't analyze everything. Just be obedient and go. That's what he said to all these people he healed. Go. Go. So there's the first verb. Go. Not now. Just hang on for 20 minutes. Go sell. Sell is a verb. It's a doing word. It's go to the marketplace. Go and trade something. Go and swap something. He says to the rich man, go and sell all you possess. Now, this is the scary bit, isn't it? Go, where am I going to live? So we get these images of living in a cave or a tent, which I think would be quite lovely for a while. I'm not joking. I mean, wouldn't it be nice not to have to worry about life? About eating and food and cooking and looking after things and mowing the lawn and looking after your car and washing your car again. And like all the mundane things that we do, cleaning the bathroom. I do that all the time. My wife is very gracious. But you see, some part of us longs for a simple life where we just have nothing. Sadly, we live in a world where we just have to deal with stuff, right? We have jobs, we have things, we just have to live in our world. We'd love a monastic life, most of us, I think, sometimes. So this word possess is not to have, it's not to own. You see, so you can have without possessing. And that's the most freeing thing. You can have things for your enjoyment and elsewhere in scriptures, you know, God says good things for our enjoyment. But it's that we don't possess them in our heart. If someone says, I love that thing, you can say, I have it. It's yours. Yeah. Like, what a freeing thing. I'm not so wrapped up in a materialistic worldview where the things that I have around me are my possession and they own me and they feed my importance and they feed my sense of security. Our security is in heaven, right? And the things that we have, fantastic. God bless. But they're not for our possession. They're not so we can lie awake at night and count our money. Count our assets. And count up all of, you know, it's like, praise God that I got a bed to sleep in. But I'm not thinking too hard about this. I'm just thankful for it. You see? So it's freeing to have but not possess. But this man possessed. This man lay awake at night counting his wealth because it was great. This man, his money owned him. And that's why Jesus says, go, go and sell. Jesus, look at this. In Philippians 2:7, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, becoming born in the likeness of man. Jesus sold up. Jesus did this. He had everything in heaven. He said, I'm going to go sell my privileges, my position, and enter into humanity. Imagine that. Imagine being all-knowing, all-compassing God, and then living in skin with all its frailties and needs. Jesus has done it, right? He's gone ahead of us. So for us, we sell out to everything that's more important than Jesus. We trade up. Maybe it's financial success and security, but maybe it's fame. Maybe it's influence. Maybe what is it that you live for? Is it success? Is it or are you living out of your woundedness or your past failures? Even these things are hard to trade up, remarkably. I'd rather stay here and be self-pity. I don't want to. You know, we live out of some of these things, our identity. Sometimes we need to get rid of those things too. I see a church that readily trades up. This is a trade up. We think that having millions be better than God, if we're honest, some of us. Our world thinks that. But actually, having God and having a few cents is far richer. It's a trade up to get rid of the things that own us so that we can have Jesus. It really is. And then we just deal with the stuff that as best as we can. But let's be a radical kind of church that doesn't live in the identities of success or money or influence, but genuinely we love Jesus above all these things. Go sell all the things that give you meaning and purpose. And then give. Live a lifestyle of giving. Verb number 3, to give something to someone of one's accord to his or her advantage as a gift. So giving is for the advantage of someone else. It's so that somebody else can prosper. Somebody else can benefit. Somebody else can be lifted out. And that's what he says to the rich young man. Take this stuff and give. Not just one off, but a lifestyle of giving. A lifestyle of pouring out for other people. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's what God does, John 3:16. He lived a life of giving for other people's benefits because he is loved. And that's us, right? We are a giving church. We're a giver, not just financially. It's like our heart giving each other love, care, compassion, things, friendship, interest, money, time, healing, affection, attention. These are the things that we give to our world that we pour out. Why? Because we've had it poured into us. We give. This is the condition of following Jesus. And then Jesus says to this young man who's already standing there trying to calculate everything. Then he says, once you've done that, you're free. Once you kind of sold up, traded up, gived up, come. In Matthew 11, 28, he says, come to me, all who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, and you will find rest for your soul. Come. He says, come. Come and get to know me. Come and walk with me. Come and learn my ways. Come and get absorbed in the things that are mine. Come and experience my healing. He says, come. His arms are open. That's what I love about a church. Day by day, even hour by hour, we come to Jesus. It's not just a religious practice or something that we do or some kind of ritual we go through. No, we are coming to Jesus to get our strength and our sustenance and our healing. And then he says, follow. Don't just come. We need to come. We need to kind of get absorbed and get healed and get his affection and our love. But then he says, follow. Now that you're with me, come. Follow. It's to join as a disciple, a follower, an apprentice. Think of the building trade, an apprentice, someone who's following their master builder. And they're instructed and doing things. Come. Follow. He says to the rich young man, follow me all your days, all the days. Follow me. Follow me, Levi. Follow me, Philip. Follow me, John. He says, come, follow. Do life as I do it. That's what it means. Watch how I do life. Now copy it. Walk with me, come to me, but then make your life patterned after my life. And you will find true life doing that. And this is where it gets really fun. We trade up our wealth and our influence and everything that could be ours. We trade it up to follow after Jesus. I love these 5 verbs. But here's the point. Jesus modeled this for us so that we could be unstuck. But the story doesn't end well, if you know this story. It's tragic. You think that with all his promises, and with Jesus himself delivering the promises. You know, if God himself came and told me to do this, I'd do it. Well, he did. What happened? Well, verse 22 of Matthew 19. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Oh, doesn't that hurt? All these promises, all this future, all this hope. He was too absorbed by the things that possessed his heart to see the one true God who could radically give him everything. Absolute tragedy. He's not only stuck in life, he recognizes he's stuck, but doesn't want to pay the small price to come unstuck. I wonder how many people in our world are like that. Maybe you're feeling like that yourself. It's like, imagine I have a really old car. And I do, all right. But imagine I got a car that doesn't really work well. Yeah, it does. I'm not talking about my car. Imagine I got a car that doesn't start sometimes. You know, it doesn't have air conditioning. You have to wind down the windows. It's smoky. You know, seats collapse under you. It doesn't really do 100. It sort of vibrates along the way. And you know that this thing is not great, but it's yours, and you possess it, and I own it. I mightn't have much, but I own my car, but it's rubbish. And somebody comes along with a brand new car and looks at yours, and you look at him, and this brand new car, I mean, it's got buttons that you wouldn't know what to do with. It's got screens that have flashing things on there. You know, it's got stripes down the side. It's got air conditioning and climate control and lane departure warning and tells you to look straight ahead when you're driving and all these modern things that cars do, you know, beeps at you and massages your back and blows cold air on your face. Like, this car is incredible. And you and your little old car look across and the guy says, hey, why don't we swap? Why don't we exchange? And you go, nah. I'd much rather my car because it's mine. You can have your new car. That's exactly what happened just here. My life, even though I'm wealthy, it's very small. And I've just been offered eternity, but yeah. No wonder people are stuck in life. We limit ourselves. We have incredibly everything given to us by Jesus. And we say, too busy. I like the way it is now. I don't really believe in him anyway. So. No wonder our world is a mess. Because here's a gift. Nah, it's all right. I'll be right. I'll just stay in my little thing. And the disciples look at this and go, this looks impossible. Jesus says, yeah, it is. He says it's easier for a rich man to enter through the eye of a needle than into the kingdom of God. And they say, well, then who can be saved? So watch this. He says, yep, with man, verse 26, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You see, it's impossible for me to give up my little car and But with God, all things are possible. With God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, all it takes, can I get the musos up on stage? All it takes is an action and the Holy Spirit's fuel beside, and anything is possible. People become unstuck in your world. You become unstuck. The Holy Spirit starts to move people. People start to wake up and see what's actually going on. See the possibilities of God. They actually come to a point where, wow, my little car is so rubbish. I need this upgrade. I'm going to sell out and find what is really, really important in life. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what our world needs today, to today, even our church friends, wherever you are, online, here, this is going to be a moment where you can sell up. If you're feeling stuck in life, today's the day. Today is the day, today, to come unstuck. Why don't you just stand with me? We're going to just spend a time of prayer and have just a moment. Holy Spirit, I'm praying for the power of God to come into this space right now. I'm praying wherever you are, sitting in your bedroom, your lounge room, out walking, listening to this, that just take a moment. Just stop multitasking. Focus on one thing right now. Right now. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Him. It's time to come unstuck. It's time to let go of the things that are pulling us out and pulling us back. It's time to see what's really important in life. And all the things and the dreams and the aspirations that look so tantalizing, but they're so empty sometimes. And we come and we trade up to Jesus, and He helps us to become unstuck. This could be the first time you've ever done this. Or it could be that you've walked with Christ for a long time, but you find yourself stuck right now. You find yourself stuck. You feel like your job is defining you and trapping you. You're finding your relationships, your close relationships are closing in on you. You're finding so many things in your life are just pulling you down and they're dragging you away from what's really important in life. Today, let Jesus come. He says, all things are possible. All things are possible. You can walk again. You can go again. You can come again. You can follow again. It's so exciting. It's a season of being unstuck. Why don't you just hold out your hand? I'm going to read these five verbs again. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit touch them. Touch them. Let Him speak to you. Maybe there's just one verb that He's telling you to do. And I'm praying and I'm believing that He will give you a picture, that He will give you a word, circumstance to act this out in. It's going to unstick you in life. He says, go. Sell. Give. Come. Follow. What is it for you? Maybe there's one, maybe there's more. But grab that thought right now. Make an agreement with God. This week, I'm going to act. God is a God of action. Things happen when we step out into His action. He's done it. He did it. He did all these five things. And now He's seated in glory, surrounded, just like the Scripture promises. But what about you? Make the step this week. If there's something in that for you, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you right now. If there's something in those five, just raise your hand. I want to pray specifically for you. Online, even online, raise your hand. Jesus, every hand raised, every person stuck, but every voice, every thing that You're telling him to do, I'm praying for the courage and the power to do what You're telling him to do. I'm praying that this week we see action. We see people's lives shift out of being stuck. We'd see people take something somewhere. We'd see a new momentum, a new growth, a new progress. We'd see a shift happening, Lord Jesus. Just because people make a little step, just a little step to go, sell, give, come or follow. Lord God, empower people this week and start some momentum in people's lives. Start some change in people's lives. Bring back what's really important, Lord, and let's get rid of the little things that we hold on to that are really of no value. Lord Jesus, come. I'm praying for the power of God right now, the power of God to deliver people, to rescue people, and to build them out. Thank You, Jesus. I'm praying for a new momentum, a season coming into spring of momentum, of increase, of movement, of flow. Lord Jesus, I see it. I see people stepping up, standing up, taking on things. I see people in their own world, in their careers, in their jobs, in their families. I see things starting to progress. Hold it like you've wanted it to, but you've just never known how to, but you'll see, just like the rich young man. Come, what do I have to do? And he'll tell you, and you do it. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Power of God. And if you've never experienced this, this morning is your morning. It's your chance to come to Christ. The morning is your morning. It starts with just come into my life, Lord Jesus, and it kickstarts all these actions. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. Just raise your hand. You've never experienced Jesus before. If you're online, you can raise your hand. Get in touch with us afterwards. This is how you get unstuck in life. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.